Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering.
It's been a year. It's been a crazy year. Ha sido un año loco, un año rápido, pero un año loco.
That's Lawrence Mayor Dan Rivera speaking about the year since gas lines pressurized 12 times higher than what they should have been, exploded in the Merrimack Valley. The explosions caused dozens of fires in Lawrence, Andover, and North Andover, damaging or destroying more than 130 buildings and driving thousands of people to evacuate. 18-year-old Leonel Rondon, sitting in a car in a friend's driveway, was hit by a falling chimney and died. He had just gotten his driver's license. Today in Lawrence, officials and members of the community gathered to dedicate a public square in his memory. Mayor Rivera was among them.
This is what we have to do because we want to make sure that people don't ever forget that through all this stuff that happened, that a life was lost, a beautiful life was lost. And we hope when they come by Leonel's sign, they're going to say, I remember that kid.
And Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey said Rondon's death would not be for nothing.
To the family of Leonel, we express our greatest sympathy. But know that in his name, in your family's name, there will be hundreds, thousands of lives which are saved in the future.
Also at the event this morning was Congresswoman Lori Trahan. She represents the Merrimack Valley, and she joins us on the line now. Congresswoman, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So, Congresswoman Trahan, you spoke at the event this morning in honor of Leonel Rondon. What were your impressions of the event?
You know, it was a beautiful tribute to Leonel Rondon. I know a lot of times, because of the accountability measures, we talk a lot about Columbia Gas or the buildings, the road repairs. But I remind people all the time that a young man's life was lost. And probably one of the most impressionable moments right after I got elected was hearing from Lucy Rondon, Leonel's sister, who said at a large public hearing, a field hearing of the Senate Energy and Commerce Committee in the city of Lawrence. And she said, we will not let this loss be without meaning. And that set into motion a partnership that, you know, extended far beyond Lawrence's borders. The mayor has been extraordinary in terms of leading the resilience of this community. The state reps and state senators and the governor's office, the secretaries. And, you know, my partnership began with Senators Markey and Warren and with Congressman Moulton in introducing the Leonel Rondon Pipeline Safety Act so that we ensure this never happens to another community again.
Congresswoman, I'd like to talk about safety and I'd like to talk about Columbia Gas. The Massachusetts Department of Public Utilities wrote a letter yesterday saying that Columbia Gas didn't follow protocol when abandoning service pipes after the explosions last year. Columbia is agreeing to inspect more than 700 abandoned gas lines. Given the company's history, does that concern you?
Absolutely. My understanding is that there's no threat to public safety, which I want people to know. But, you know, the people who are living in Lawrence and Andover and North Andover, they're still raw. They're still fearful. And on the 1 year anniversary, this is tough news to hear. And the company needs to work on rebuilding trust with its customers and with all of us. Clearly, our role in government is to oversee and enforce the laws and the regulations, and we're going to continue to hold Columbia Gas accountable until all of these pipes are inspected and this project is concluded.
Congresswoman, yesterday we actually spoke with Columbia Gas President Mark Kempick as the news was emerging that they were going to inspect these abandoned lines. Here, he said it was a proactive measure. Here he is.
So what we want to do is to look to make sure that on those abandoned services, we've hit all the dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's on the Massachusetts compliance regulations.
Does that answer satisfy you? Because the state's actually alleging that the company violated federal and state pipeline law when they sealed the lines in the first place.
Yeah, I think what we have to ensure, and I appreciate the DPU for stepping in and requiring extra inspections and leak surveillance, because that is a way for the Commonwealth to instill trust. If it's not done right, my understanding is this is another $1 million fine for Columbia Gas. But more importantly, psychologically, the company has to be proactive in easing fears and concerns with its customers. Clearly this is not a company that should be making errors or mistakes, whether it's in communication with its customers or missing a deadline. And so, I think the state and local officials, along with, my partners in the federal government, we are all on this, whether it's, making sure that the company's held accountable, making sure that the claims are being paid in proper timing to the small businesses and to the families who are still waiting, and ensuring that we have good legislation and good regulations on the books so that this never has to happen again and people don't live in fear of what's underground.
So given that people may be in fear, do you trust Columbia Gas to be doing what's necessary to avoid another disaster?
Yeah, right now I think that there is a spotlight on the city of on the company, on Columbia Gas. In its aftermath, an unbelievable job was done in a very short amount of time, and it was because there was a coalition of companies, other utility companies helping, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and all of that bringing to bear. And so, this company is being it's being watched, right? I mean, I think that the mayor is on the ground; he is fielding those calls from people, watching the bills come in, making sure that the rates aren't being hiked unnecessarily. And we are in close communication on all of this because, our work is not done until we've closed the last case, until we've paved the last road.
So speaking of finishing the work, in July, Columbia Gas settled a class action lawsuit for $143 million, which is awaiting approval in the next several weeks. Before that, the company reached an $80 million settlement with the governments of the three communities. These $2 amounts, these settlements, do you think they cover the full damages of the disaster?
In total, the cost to, Columbia Gas has exceeded $1.5 billion. But I want to be super clear. When we're talking about a young man's life, when we're talking about lost business because people aren't frequenting, the local bodega the way they used to, when we're talking about the hidden wounds of people who are still traumatized, there is no dollar amount that we can talk about. So I think that what I've seen on display and what was absolutely reflected in the anniversary event that I went to today was a resilience in a community. You only get that when people come together. And Lawrence has all of that. Like I said, there's a partnership that goes well beyond the borders of this city. They know that they're Washington legislators have their back and are working hard to transform our laws, but they also feel that every day with the leadership provided by their state and local representatives. And, I will say one thing. I know we tend to do this on a one-year anniversary. We talk about the company. We talk about Columbia Gas. Today's not about Columbia Gas. Today is about Leonel Rondon. It's about his family. There was a beautiful mass that was, that we all attended today, the governor, the mayor, the entire state delegation. And we're reminded of who he was. We're reminded of the lives that he touched. His friends were there mourning, their friend. And we were also reminded of what Lucy, his sister, told us to do and make sure his life never is forgotten, and that this loss is never without meaning. And you see that all over the city. You see that at the school that he went to. There's an art recovery room. You see that in the square that we dedicated for him today, the start of the Spigot Greenway. And you're going to see his name on major landmark legislation, the Leonel Rondon Pipeline Safety Act, ensuring that that legislation saves lives and no other family has to go through this again.
Congresswoman, what is the status of that legislation?
Thank you for asking. So it's passed the House, and we are, it's passed markup in both chambers. And so we are, that bill is ready to either be a part of an infrastructure bill, a broader infrastructure bill, but it's also ready to move on its own. There's bipartisan support for this bill. So we are looking to pass that legislation before the end of the year. You know, Senator Markey called me a couple of weeks ago to alert me that it passed a major milestone in the Senate, which not a lot of legislation has passed milestones in the Senate, but this one did. It went through his committee and markup. So we're going to be moving it and accelerating it the best we can.
So, Congresswoman, you said earlier, you know, you were pointing out that there is no amount of money, it's not the only thing, and it's not at the heart of this. So a year later, you've spent time in the community today. You've heard from your constituents over the last 12 months. What else will it take to help make people, businesses, and these communities whole or healed again?
Well, thank you for asking me that question, because, you know, one thing that we've really focused on, and there's a coalition of nonprofit groups that is really focused on rocking the register. You see it on Twitter. It's a hashtag, rock the register. But whether we're talking about North Andover, or Lawrence, you know, there is a concerted effort to bring neighbors, community members, friends and family back to those small businesses that, you know, are not back to 100% their normal business revenues. And so, you know, I think what I'd like to tell people who are listening on the radio or reading the newspapers, if you have an opportunity to visit one of these affected communities and support a small business there, either going to a bodega and ordering some fried chicken like at Jacqueline's, or if you could go to a gift shop or a hair salon, do it, because the community needs it. And that's actually what's going to bring back and make those communities flourish again.
Massachusetts Congresswoman Lori Trahan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's turn to another voice. Joining us now from Leonel Rondon Square in Lawrence is WBUR reporter Callum Borchers. Callum, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, Tiziana.
Hi, Callum. You've been listening in and you were at the event this morning. How would you describe the mood in Lawrence today?
Boy, it was really heavy, Tiziana. I mean, Lawrence Mayor Dan Rivera led things off, and he made the point that these kinds of dedications are often for fallen soldiers. You know, those are tragic in their own way, which is certainly something he understands. He's a veteran himself. But there's also that bit of comfort that comes from knowing someone has died for the noble cause of serving the country. And Rivera made the point today that in Rondon's case, it feels like just a senseless tragedy. And so I think that feeling really weighed on everybody this morning.
Hmm. Much of the ceremony this morning was dedicated to Leonel Rondon, the young man who was killed. Did anyone from his family speak, Callum?
Well, Rondon's parents and siblings participated in the unveiling of a new sign that marks the square, but nobody actually spoke during the ceremony itself. Afterward, however, Rondon's sister, Luciani, did speak briefly with reporters, Tiziana. You might remember that she spoke very powerfully at that Senate hearing in Lawrence last fall, where the senators were grilling Columbia Gas officials. She's really showed remarkable poise throughout the past year, and so here's some of what she said this morning.
We are very appreciated with the community, and that's something that we wanted to let the community know, that it's not only our pain, but it's the community's as well. So we wanted to share this moment with them as well.
Callum,
and she added, Tiziana, when people see the sign for the new Rondon Square, she hopes that they'll remember that this Columbia Gas disaster never should have happened in the first place.
So let's talk about Columbia Gas. You heard me ask the congresswoman, you know, the State Department of Public Utilities yesterday said it's going to investigate whether Columbia Gas violated the law when it abandoned the gas lines. It says it's going to expect more than 700 service lines it abandoned. Was there any reaction from the public officials to this news coming today?
Yeah, you know, they didn't bring it up during the ceremony. I think they wanted to keep the focus on honoring Leonel Rondon, but Mayor Rivera and Governor Charlie Baker did both vent their latest frustration when speaking with reporters afterward. Rivera said he knew, or Columbia rather, knew more than a month ago that workers had failed to cap some of the old lines that were taken out of service, but didn't notify regulators right away. And so here's what he had to say about that delay.
These guys get paid way too much money to jerk around with information they have about people's safety. It's unacceptable. I don't know why they did it, but the reality is that they did it. Now we're here, and we have the winter up against our back.
So Rivera's calling for the Department of Public Utilities to fine Columbia Gas some $33 million. That's $1 million for every day the company didn't disclose. Governor Baker didn't go that far, Tiziana. He's very measured, as we know. But by Charlie Baker's standards, he was pretty irritated. Now let's take a listen.
I'm annoyed that they apparently knew about this for a while and didn't just tell us, because the second they told the DPU and the DPU told us, we turned around and told the communities.
So that's an annoyed Charlie Baker. As for the fine, though, he says he wants to wait for the DPU investigation to play out.
So, Callum, one of the things that's been on our minds is how safe people do or don't feel a year after the explosions. I understand you witnessed something kind of telling today about how much the fear from the explosions is still with people.
Yeah, I mean, some of those signs are still there. So this is the physical signs. I mean, Baker, for one thing, commented on the scarring, as he put it, that you can still see on the roads. Remember, Columbia agreed to pay that $80 million settlement to Lawrence Andover and North Andover so they can repair the roads, but all that work hasn't been done. But the episode that jumps to mind, I think you're referring to, Tiziana, is we were in the middle, reporters and all gathered around Mayor Dan Rivera asking him some questions. And all of a sudden, everybody catches a whiff of natural gas. And the mayor just looks exasperated as this happens. So he pauses the gaggle. He turns to an aide and says, can you please go check with the fire chief, who was on the scene anyway for the ceremony? And then the aide returned a short time later and reported that the chief believed the odor was just emanating from a nearby sewer and that there was no danger. But people are on edge, as you could imagine. I mean, anytime people smell gas up here, they're worried, and you can understand why.
Yeah, I can. Callum, any last reflections from what you've seen today?
Well, you know, this was certainly not an overtly political event, but there is often that subtext at events like this. And I think we saw a little bit of that today. You know, Senator Markey was here, as Lori Trahan mentioned a moment ago. And I will note that he was just showered with credit from Lawrence Mayor Dan Rivera and appreciation from the community for bringing that Senate hearing to Lawrence, the one where Luciana Rondon spoke so powerfully almost a year ago now. And so I thought that was notable, you know, as he faces the potential strong primary challenge from Joe Kennedy. I think that it's notable that he has apparently a strong supporter up here in Mayor Dan Rivera.
Callum Borchers, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be with you.
We also spoke to two Lawrence business owners. Elizabeth Bautista is the owner of Delish Bakery and Cafe. She told us the cafe had been her dream, and she'd worked hard as a waitress to save money for it.
I was a waitress before doing my business, and I worked 7 days a week for save money. And then something broke in 3 months. I'm broken. I need to do something. I need to do something for my business.
And then there's John Farrington, who owns Carlene's Coffee Shop in Lawrence. His shop was damaged from the explosions, but the day after, he was there to serve coffee to the community. He said everyone was in disbelief.
Unfortunately, the aunt of the young boy who died just got his license in a chimney and fell on him. Mm. His aunt was there, and she looked stunned and just like she was in shock still. And a lot of other people had that same sort of fear and just look on their face. And every time a truck went by, a fire truck or something like that, you get that diesel smell.
Yeah.
And people would think it's natural gas. They had that look of terror on their face. And that lasted for months afterwards.
Is it done now, or are you still and other people still afraid sometimes now?
Oh, no. I have a lot of customers all throughout the neighborhood in Andover, North Andover. But the ones local, they still have the fear of the stove. Some didn't want to cook for months afterwards, and some, if they get a smell of, you know, usually gasoline or diesel from outside the roadway or something like that in the restaurant, they ask you right away, is that gas? Check your gas. So that still happens.
How long until you reopened?
I opened up January 15th.
Wow.
I was shut down 4 months.
That's a full...
And for a restaurant to be shut down 4 months is a death warrant. It's just people, and especially in the diner, they're into regular habits. You see the same people, you know, four times a month, either, you know, twice a week or every day. And you get them that much out of their habit, they form new habits, either eating at home, taking a walk, or doing something different, or go to a different restaurant. We just lost a huge amount of our business.
So your customers haven't really come back.
Well, they a lot of times they don't want to go through the aggravation of coming back. I mean, it literally was to go a mile around here was sometimes a half hour.
How much has this cost you, John?
Oh God, I know I probably put $30,000-$35,000 out of my own pocket back into the business. Never mind that, just to cover media bills. Never mind the debt I've built up in the restaurant. So, you know, by not paying certain bills and this and that, or extending my credit, or outright not paying the state points, I owe them money. So I'm in the hole probably, you know, $60,000-$70,000.
Do you think anyone will ever make you whole?
I don't think they want to. They don't want to try. I have one gentleman I speak to from Louisiana, you know, nice guy, but I mean, but he's sort of the gatekeeper or of all the other people that he refers to that can't do anything. And it's frustrating. And that's the insurance company of the gas company. And you talk to the gas company and they really, you know, you can't really talk to the gas company. There's no one to speak to from the gas company. And they don't come by and see if you're okay. So I'm to the point where I'm just going to hire a lawyer to try to figure out the rest of it, which is going to cost me more money.
John, you may know that Columbia is looking to settle a class action lawsuit with residents and business owners.
Mm-hmm.
The settlement, which still has to be reviewed by a judge, was for $143 million. Are you a part of that settlement? Do you know?
I don't know, honestly. I don't know if I'm on a list, if I have to sign up for this, if I've missed my window. You know, because I took Columbia Gas's word at first, saying, we'll make you whole, we'll get you guys out of this.
Would you take their word now?
No. My first and biggest fear was getting my customers back, and I mentioned to them. And like, yeah, don't worry, we'll take care of it. And no. I've seen more money spent by them saying how they've taken care of everything than I've seen action on the ground.
What else would you like to see from them, John?
A sincere, just effort, just apology, you know, not one just covering their butt. You know, they truly affected a nice old neighborhood in Lawrence. You know, South Lawrence West was always a very close, nice neighborhood where a lot of people knew each other and everything else. And they literally traumatized an entire neighborhood because they wanted to save money on engineering, you know, not getting enough people to look to figure out they didn't put the pressure valves on, you know. So I just want them to, you know, make an effort. My employees were shorted on their right before Christmas. They were told that they're not going to get paid anymore, that they had somehow stolen from the system and didn't represent themselves properly, and they're going to come after them and chase money.
So I want to go back and understand this. Your employees filed claims, individual claims, with Columbia Gas. Is that right?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. They want to let me file on their behalf and pay them.
They must have been terrified.
They're honestly terrified.
Did they ever provide financial relief to your employees?
No, they left them. They all didn't get roughly 5 weeks of pay after that. So, I mean, all of them trying to make their monthly rent and everything else, and that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, when they said they would take care of all the employees, they immediately sent a bunch of headhunters over trying to get them all new jobs, which would have left me with absolutely no staff. So every option, when Columbia Gas was given an option to do the right thing, they took the sleazy way out. And just going by past actions, I think they're doing the same thing still.
That was John Farrington, owner of Carlene's Coffee Shop in Lawrence. And we reached out to Columbia Gas about his claims about the headhunters, and we have not heard back. Stay with us. Coming up, we'll get reactions to last night's Democratic presidential primary debate, including your calls. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.